Hello everyone and welcome to Daily Newspaper Analysis, which is brought to you by LawSeekho. So today we have two articles for our discussion. There was no newspaper on Saturday for the Hindu, so we have articles from today's only. So we have one article from the Indian Express today, that is the Indian Green Deal. So this talks about the IGD, that is the Indian Green Deal. So what are the basic tenets of the Indian Green Deal? How will it help in not only mitigating the climate change, but also boosting the economy of the country, will be discussed in this article. The second article has been taken from the Hindu newspaper, which has been titled as Taxing the Cryptocurrency Transactions, which basically says that now since we will be having the government regulated cryptocurrency as well in a very short while, so how will we be able to tax this particular thing and what all provisions do we already have available and can we or can we not put the cryptocurrency under those regimes and those legal sanctions or not, will be discussed here. This newspaper analysis is presented by me. My name is Shewa Khan. I am a BA LLB law graduate and I have completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University in the year 2019. I completed my graduation with a gold medal in my batch and I also have been a national debater as well as a public speaker. Currently at LawSeekho, I'm working as an expert for current affairs and I'm also working as the manager for current affairs vertical. So let's get started with the first article, which talks about the Indian Green Deal. So the threats of climate change and pollution at the local level are no longer a distant threat for India. As we know that recently when India also participated in the Conference of Parties, that was 26th COP at Glasgow. So India also promised to become a carbon neutral in the coming times, wherein it also understood that it is definitely the high time to work in the direction for mitigating the pollution as well as the climate change. Also, if we know that 2021 has been one of the seven warmest years in the all centuries that we have had, and thus the proofs for global warming are definitely evident. So India now is also facing an economic crisis alongside with it. Now, here two problems have been brought together. That is the problem of pollution and with climate change, and of course, the problem of economic crisis. Now, what we have on plate right now is the Indian Green Deal, and this deal has the potential to not only bring forward or to not only mitigate the climate change, but also to help boost the Indian economy. So let's see. The Indian government had promised 10% of the GDP on the Atmanirbhar package. Now, if this package is used judiciously on the Indian Green Deal, India can stay ahead of the climate curve. Let's understand now the policy on which India can act on, like what all we can do. So firstly, we should be segregating the sectors in the Indian economy which have a high carbon footprint. Now, by carbon footprint, we mean that there are different kinds of activities in an economy, right? Now, every activity has different kinds of impacts on the environment. Now, there can be some industries that are not so hazardous to the environment and that they do not emit out a lot of carbon. But there are a lot of industries that have a higher carbon footprint, which means that upon production or manufacturing that takes place in those industries, the carbon is emitted at a higher rate, which means that the footprint of carbon which is left behind with those products is higher. So what we need to do is that we need to segregate the sectors in the Indian economy which have a high carbon footprint. For example, manufacturing of steel is one example of this. And there are other industries like, you know, maybe the industries that work with other stuff that have high intensity of usage of coal. Is definitely these will be the industries that will be having a higher carbon footprint. So the promised GDP can be divided into three parts. Now, as we are saying that the 10% of the GDP, which it was saying that would be promised and given to the Atmanirbhar, that is the self-reliant package. So this promised GDP can be divided, like further divided into three parts. 5% would be for the infrastructure, that is the growth of industries and all roads, buildings, hospitals, etc. 3% for care of the economy and 2% for the green energy. So all with this, all the things might go hand in hand, wherein we'll be becoming advanced with the infrastructure. On the second side, we'll be moving better with the economy. And on the third side, we'll make sure that we are keeping the economy and ecology both together on our plate. So according to the Periodic Labour Force Survey, May 2019 report, it states that the Indian Green Deal absorbs all of those who are currently unemployed. So definitely, it can add to the employment levels of the country as well. And according to the PLFS, that is the Periodic Labour Force Survey, 2019 May report, it says that if at all, the Indian Green Deal, which is, you know, taking in account economy with ecology, if it is implemented at the right levels, so it can have the capacity to absorb all who are currently unemployed. So the Indian Green Deal also generates extra jobs. So not just, you know, the unemployed can be employed, but also we can have extra jobs in hands. So due to the IGD, the job of 2.4 million can get hiked to 8 million people. So definitely this will be a great chance for not only employing the people who are currently unemployed, but also generating employment for people maybe who can move from outside world, from the outside countries, and can definitely look on for good and better jobs in the country. So a greener economy is thus a win-win proposal for both employment issues as well as the climate change and pollution. So since India's energy intensity consumption is high, this would save almost one third of the energy. Now, as the kinds of industries that we're dependent on to, they are, you know, high in intensity, the energy intensity industries. By that, we mean that for the production and manufacturing, they require a lot of energy. So definitely, if we have such industries, so having a green deal would save almost one third of that energy. Now the question that remains is how would India fund such an amount, and that too for a continuous period of 10 years. So what all can we do to bring in the funds that we will be requiring for the proper implementation of the Indian Green Deal? So here are some methods or some steps that the article suggests. Firstly, it talks about a global just transition package from greatest emitters of the world can be collected along with taxing Indian elite. So it says that what we can do is that, see, there are different countries in the world, their developmental levels are different, their levels of industrialization are also different. For example, USA, China, they definitely have a lot of industries as compared to, let's say, Algeria and South Africa. So definitely these countries that have had a better chance to exploit the nature, and because these countries are the one of the largest emitters of the carbon in the world, so these definitely should be checked, and also they should be taxed upon their emission, which we have previously discussed about the global green tax. And apart from that, the elites in India as well, you know, the like similar situation if we talk about at the national level as well, there are a lot of industrialists that have greater chance of, you know, or they have larger industries that definitely contribute more in the carbon emission. So obviously these elites can also be taxed. So in a broad sense of the term, both of them are the actual ones responsible for carbon emissions. Now, of course, see, if we talk about a small, you know, a very small businessman, a person who works in the village, now that person definitely is not contributing a lot to the carbon emissions as compared to a person who is a huge industrialist whose industries, you know, are all around the country or all around the world, and definitely these industries are causing a lot of carbon emissions. So in reality, these are the people or these are the countries as such at a larger level that are the biggest emitters of the carbon, and that is why these should be more responsible as compared to other people in the world. So a global carbon tax would earn India $270 billion more than what is required for the Indian Green Deal program. So if at all we will be able to, you know, put up this global carbon tax, so we will definitely be in a surplus amount of money, even though as much is required for the Indian Green Deal. So for taxing the Indian elite, luxury items can be taxed at high rates. So luxury items basically are the items which are not used by the average population. Now this could be a specific model of car, a specific model, maybe let's say of iPhone. You know, there are people who have gold iPhone and other kinds of customized, you know, such services. So if at all these are such luxury items, they can be taxed for the elite class people. So the rich can also be levied a carbon tax since their carbon emissions are 5 times as much as the poorest. And the Indian Green Deal solves two of the most pressing issues of India, that is the emissions as well as equity. One is related to the ecology and the other related to the economy. So definitely if at all this Indian Green Deal is set onto the right pace, we will definitely have not only a boosted economy, but also a very highly supported and sustainable ecology. With this, let's discuss the second article for the day, which talks about taxing the cryptocurrency transactions. Now, a liberal estimate suggests that around 10 crore Indians currently have invested in cryptocurrency, exceeding a total amount or, you know, a value of $10 million, which is definitely huge. So the Indian tax authorities will have a Herculean time to track and tax these transactions. Now, as we know that generally under the Income Tax Act, the income in India is taxable, right? Now, if at all we will be generating any kind of income through the cryptocurrencies, so definitely, you know, it makes sense that this is also taxed. But for that, we need to understand that do we already have any mechanism or any system already available through which we can tax the cryptocurrencies, or will we be requiring another set of rules that would make it more feasible for the cryptocurrency to be taxed? Now, before we begin with, let's understand that what are the different heads of income, which according to the Income Tax of India, they are, you know, taxable. So upon which the taxes will have to be paid. So for example, the first one is income from salary. Now, the most simple and the most common one definitely is the income from salary. So if you're working at one place and your employer is paying you a salary, definitely that salary is taxable if it comes under the slab of Income Tax Act. Secondly is the income from house property, which means you're getting some kind of rent or something. Third, income from business or profession, if you're doing any kind of a business. Fourth is income from the capital gains. Now, capital gains basically are like if you have a jewelry, like for example, you have a lot of gold and you have deposited it into the bank. Now, this is a kind of a capital, you know, which from which you are gaining some amount of money. So bank definitely gives you some interest on that gold. So that is a kind of a capital gain. And income from other sources is, for example, you get any income from a lottery. If you, you know, for example, you go and win a game in the Kaun Banega Crorepati and some such similar quiz games or something like that. So if at all you are getting any kind of income from such sources, so that would also be taxable. So let's understand that where or under which kind of heads can the cryptocurrency be put into. So the Income Tax Act 1961 casts a wide net which could be used as a means to tax cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrency could be held as a capital asset and it can be made taxable under the heads of capital gains. So if at all one time, single time gain you are getting, so that can be put under capital gains. If the taxpayer is frequently trading in cryptocurrency and it is one of his kind of a business, then the same can be labeled as a business income and so it can be taxed as well. Now, in case it is held that both of these do not fit into the cryptocurrency, Section 56, that was the last one, that is income through the other sources. So what we can do is that we can put cryptocurrency under this slab, which is income from other sources, and then the income tax can be applicable. Now, here are varied interpretations on this front. So let's see what are they. Firstly, it says that the absence of clear tax provisions make it difficult to tax mined cryptocurrencies. Now, what happens is that, see, there is no clear slab under which, you know, the cryptocurrencies can be put. For example, the income was clearly coming under the, you know, the income from salary. So then otherwise from business, it was directly coming from there. For gold, etc., that was coming directly in the capital gains and so on and so forth. But when we talk about the cryptocurrencies, there is no clarity as to under which slab or under which kind of head of income will it fall. Now, this can definitely give a way to the people to escape the taxation under the cryptocurrencies. So definitely it would make it difficult for the authorities also to tax it in the right way. Secondly, the capital gains fail to compute the tax in these cases since it is difficult to compute the cost of acquisition. Now, at one point of time, what exactly is the cost of acquisition? Now, for example, when we talk about gold, so gold definitely has some set precise value on a particular day, but that might or might not be the case for the cryptocurrencies because the cryptocurrencies are also like many of them. For example, Bitcoin, we have Doge, we have Ethereum, etc. So definitely the cost of acquisition cannot be ascertained at one particular time, and thus if we try to put it under the capital gains, it might not be very easy to compute the exact, you know, cost of its acquisition. Yes. That which means the cost at which we are holding that cryptocurrency. Secondly, being of a volatile nature, it is difficult to compute a fair market value as on the date of generation. The same goes for the normal market value of that cryptocurrency at that particular point of time as well. Now, it is very tricky to identify a jurisdiction since the transactions could have been taken place at multiple places and tracking down the same is almost impossible. Now, this will be something like, you know, the base erosion profit shifting process under which we do not really understand as to where that amount was generated and which country or which area or which jurisdiction will have the exact right to tax that income. So since the transaction can take place from any corner of the world, it might become really very difficult to track down the same and thus put kind of any kind of a tax on that income. Also, the identity of the taxpayer is anonymous. So since they're identified by unique alphanumeric codes and not just names. So definitely it's not like, you know, you can verify their Aadhaar and you will know that where this person belongs to or who this person actually is. So definitely identifying the taxpayer becomes another issue. So lack of any third party scrutiny also makes it immensely hard to track down any activity of tax evasion because it is so opaque in its nature because it uses the technology of, you know, the of blockchain, which definitely makes it very difficult to track the entire process. So this also means that in case they are reported of any cryptocurrency transaction, it is almost impossible to verify it. And also the payments for physical goods that were made through cryptocurrencies again become a nightmare to track and verify. So the income tax policymakers, what they can do is that they can mark special events as taxable and incorporate survey options. So we can definitely have that this particular, so we can have, you know, more clarity as to what kind of events would come under what kind of taxation. And the taxpayers too need to be made extensively aware of such statutory provisions and amendments. Then the mandatory tax disclosure like that is there in US can be incorporated, and international legal framework too needs to be strengthened for information exchange, because the transaction in the bitcoins or transaction in the cryptocurrency for a larger say, they take place mostly on the international front, and that is why international cooperation is highly sought. The government officials at all levels have to be adequately trained for the same and raising timely red flags whenever necessary. So definitely a lot has to be done if at all we need to tax the cryptocurrency transactions. So this was all for the day. We hope it was a good session for you all. Thank you so much for staying tuned with LawSeeCo. If you liked it, please give it a thumbs up and do subscribe to our channels. If you wish to download the PDF of today's slides, please join our Telegram channel. The link is there in the description box below. Also, you can scan this QR code that you can see on your screens right now. For other content, please do not forget to follow us on our official Instagram channels for Judiciary, Clat Prep, UGCNET, and other law finance exams. Thank you so much.